Namaste. Welcome to Dharma Reflections with Raghu Mandurai. Today, we are going to know about the importance of speaking truth at all costs. The minute we talk about the word truth, most Indians would conjure in their minds the name of Harishchandra. Many of us know that Harishchandra was the inspiration behind Mahatma Gandhi's experiments with truth and his decision to speak truth throughout his lifetime. But interestingly, the same community has a lot of people who has never heard of Raja Harishchandra or why he spoke truth. There are quite a few who even argue why he should have gone to such an extent to speak truth. What is so great about speaking truth? He could have easily gotten out with a lie and or even not even a lie, just not acknowledging the fact that he even spoke such a word. To these and all the other doubts, it is important for us to understand the story of Harishchandra and get to the bottom of what it signifies and what we can take it and put it in our today's life. Raja Harishchandra was in the Treta Yuga. He was one of the ancestors of Rama in the Ikshvaku dynasty. So it becomes important that some idea, some concept that was practiced in the remote past, what would be the repercussions in today's life if we either observe or don't follow it? Let's dive into the story of Raja Harishchandra. Many Puranas talk about Raja Harishchandra's story, including the Itihasas, Ramayana and Mahabharata, and even Aitreya Brahmana has a passing mention of it. The stories come in two different flavors. The story is given the most detail in Markandeya Purana, which is the basis for our study. In Suryavamsa, there were many illustrious kings, and one such king was Satyavrata, who is popularly known as Trishanku. He is the guy who wanted to go to heaven in his body and requested Vishwamitra Maharishi to send him. Vishwamitra used all his tapasya trying to send him there, and since Indra could not accept it, he created an entire world, an entire universe that is upside down just for Trishanku. To such an illustrious king was born Harishchandra. Harishchandra was the ruler of Kosala, which later on came to be known by the name of Ayodhya. Harishchandra was the model king, the one which everybody can look up to and fix their bearings. It is said that he literally created heaven on earth. There were no people in his kingdom who ever starved or had premature death. Nobody got intoxicated due to strength or wealth or even austerities, and more importantly, spurious substances like alcohol. Harishchandra was married to a beautiful lady called Shaivya, and they had a very young son called Rohitasya. Time to time, Harishchandra used to go to the neighboring forest for hunting. During one such expedition, where he was chasing some deer, he heard some women wailing and crying, and he headed in that direction, wondering who it was. As he went there, he could not find any people, but the cries kept driving him closer to a particular ashram. Vishwamitra was engaged in extreme tapasya in that ashram, and he was extracting the sciences and pushing their limits and trying to get the best wisdom due to his tapasya. Ganesha, also known as Vignaraja, in this situation, he thought sciences are being pushed to the limit, and he wanted to give a break, and he wanted to intervene and save the sciences from the intense tapasya of Vishwamitra. While he was contemplating, Harishchandra came there into the ashram. Ganesha entered his mind and made him to speak in anger and ask a lot of angry questions to Vishwamitra. Having disturbed Vishwamitra's concentration, Ganesha's mission was fulfilled, as Vishwamitra would not find it easy to go back to the same level of intense concentration. So Ganesha left the scene with the trembling, apologetic, dazed Harishchandra, not knowing what he had done. Vishwamitra was angry to see a warrior speaking in very loud, undisciplined terms. So having demanded who he was, Harishchandra explained that he was a dharmic king. Vishwamitra wondered what dharma for a king was. Harishchandra countered him by saying that he was very generous and he
supports a lot of Brahmanas, austerities and rishis. Having heard this, Vishwamitra was happy and said that he was a worthy recipient and he needed some money for Rajasuya Yajna. Harishchandra was glad to give him that. He added that he can give anything, including his life or the kingdom. Vishwamitra said he will gladly accept the kingdom, including all the belongings, personal belongings, clothes and jewels and everything that came with it. He will accept everything except the fruits and adherence of Dharma. He also reminded the king that the first word needs to be fulfilled for supporting the Rajasuya Yajna. Though Harishchandra was bankrupt by the second request, the people, when they came to know, were bent on joining their king, who was sent on an exile by Vishwamitra. Vishwamitra understood, as his former kingly nature, that citizens will revolt if the king stayed within the kingdom's limit. So he goaded and prompted Harishchandra not to tarry. He prodded Saivya with a stick. Watching this horrible incident, the Vishwadevas exclaimed in horror that Vishwamitra was crossing all the limit. Having heard this, Vishwamitra cursed them to become human beings and have a very short life filled with no pleasures, and they will have an early death. Interestingly, these five Vishwadevas were eventually born as humans, as children of Draupadi, popularly known as Upapandavas. They had a very brief existence. They fought the Mahabharata war successfully, but Ashwatthama killed them when they were all asleep. Apart from the fact Harishchandra wanted to keep his own word, Vishwamitra constantly kept the threat of cursing him. This constant threat made Harishchandra plead for a month's time to pay back the money he agreed to give him in the first place. As he wandered with Shaivya and Rohitasya, a month passed and he came to the city of Kashi. Harishchandra was stunned to see Vishwamitra waiting there, who came to remind that it was the last day. So Harishchandra requested him that the day is not over and he will be able to pay back by the end of the day. Though he had no idea or no plan how he could win some rich friends who will fund his scheme. So Harishchandra was immersed in deep sorrow, wondering how he can keep up his word. The fall from truth, from keeping up his word, was sending shock waves in his mind. His body and mind could not hold that state. So he kept swooning repeatedly. Shaivya, seeing his plight, suggested that she has fulfilled her role as a wife, having given birth to a heir, Rohitasya, for the kingdom they didn't even have. She suggested that she can be auctioned as a servant to someone and the proceeds can pay Harishchandra's debt. Just listening to these words and the duress made Harishchandra faint. Watching her husband get tormented and oppressed by the situation, Shaivya breaks into a soliloquy and she also collapses, leaving the young child crying out loud in hunger. Vishwamitra came back, sprinkled some water to awaken Harishchandra, to remind him that he still owes his money whether he faints or not. This made Harishchandra swoon again. The angry Vishwamitra sprinkled more cold water to bring back him to consciousness and repeatedly asked him to pay back what he owed. He reminded Harishchandra that even Swarga is held by truth and that Satya is far more heavy, as it will outweigh 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas easily. It is interesting to note that Indra got the position only by doing 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas and just by maintaining truth at all levels. This is not merely not telling lies, but by speaking truth at all levels, at body, mind and intellect level, and in every step of the way, that truth is easily more powerful and outweighs 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas. To add to the situation, he kept dangling the curse that he will make him a chandala. Now, chandala was the lowest rung in the society of those days, where the person was having the thought process of living in uncouth conditions, having no morals, and was deeply rooted in tamas. Such a person was called chandala. Although they had a certain biological origin, it was the mindset of a chandala that needs to be kept in mind. Shaivya reminds Harishchandra that the only viable proposal was hers. Haichandra, having left with no option, proceeded to auction her with deep anguish. An aged Brahmana appeared to the cries of Harishchandra and hastened to purchase her and drag her away. This made the child restless, holding on to his mom and begging her not to go. Shaivya, seeing the plight of the child, pleaded with the Brahmana not to separate her from the child. So the Brahmana gave a throwaway price and bought the child. Vishwamitra promptly collected the money and found it short of the original sum. The lament of Harishchandra fell into the deaf ears of Vishwamitra, who merely reminded that a fourth part of the day still remained. At this time, an interesting turn of sequence happens. Dharma takes the form of a chandala. He looked very hideous, dressed in dirty clothes and rags, surrounded by dogs, and went with the name of Pravira. He came holding a skull and offered to buy Harishchandra's services. Harishchandra was shocked at the fall of the Ikshvaku Kula, at his own fate. He stood there stunned. He was unable to digest the fact that he has to enter a chandala's services to pay back Vishwamitra. Instead, when Vishwamitra came there and accused Harishchandra of dragging his feet, when a golden opportunity was available to repay all his debt, Harishchandra proposed that he will become a servant of Vishwamitra. Vishwamitra said, now that he is the servant of him, he could do whatever he proposed. So he sold Harishchandra to the chandala, got the gold, and left the scene. The chandala was the one in charge of the Harishchandra ghat, what we know popularly today, of the crematorium in Kashi. His job was to take care of the dead bodies and cremate them. The chandala assigned the task of collecting garments from dead bodies. Every burning of the corpse came with a fee. A sixth of it went to the king. Pravira kept three parts and generously gave 2/6 of the wages to Harishchandra. Harishchandra could barely be bothered with the events that were happening around him. The crematorium was filled with the cries of relatives of the dead. It was drowned by the cries of jackals and owls at night. Harishchandra was literally living in his own Naraka. The inner Naraka of Harishchandra was more dreadful than the rotting flesh, the burning stench that can stun the strongest willed person if being subjected to for months. Harishchandra periodically lost his senses and his sense of bearing of the surrounding. One day, while he was standing, he fell into a trance, a horrible nightmare of having taken a lower birth and continuing his suffering. He dreamt of being tossed from one level of Naraka to another. In his shock, he could not figure or discern if it was real or a dream. As he wailed, he woke up to find the real Shaivya standing in front of him, wanting to cremate their son who had died in a snake bite. Neither could recognize each other, as the 12 months and the hardships had taken a huge toll. As Harishchandra looked at the kingly features of Rohitasya, he couldn't hold his exclamation that this child would have had a great future. Unable to brook, Shaivya started wailing about the miseries and invoked the name of Harishchandra, who realized that it was his wife and son in front of him. Understanding the gravity of situation made Harishchandra swoon again, which made Shaivya realize that it was her husband, and she also fainted. Even as they regained their consciousness, Harishchandra was now tormented by the loss of his son's life, and Shaivya was in horror to see that her husband, the great famous king, was in the menial service of a chandala, the lowest rung in the society. She wondered if dharma even existed, and what is the point of doing all the punya karmas, and what was the merit of the karma. Unable to even figure out whether it was real or a nightmare, she also slipped into more and more lamentation. Harishchandra was unable to hold his mind any longer. Oppressed by the serious turn of events, unable to figure out whether he was still in a reality or in a nightmare, he resolved to jump into the fire along with his son. He believed at least in the next birth, he will be able to evolve better and have a nice life with his wife, Shaivya. He advised her to serve the Brahmana master well, only to hear that Shaivya was having the same resolve to jump into the pyre. They placed their son's body on the funeral pyre, invoked Shiva and Narayana with folded hands, and they were intent on jumping onto the fire. Indra kept Dharma in front and rushed to the scene along with other devas and Vishwamitra. Indra declared that Vishwamitra is here to offer his friendship and desires only the good of Harishchandra. Dharma spoke very highly of Harishchandra's titiksha, patience, Dhamma, which is self-control, and Satya, truth. He requested Harishchandra not to proceed with his intended suicide. Indra said that he came there personally to request Harishchandra, Shaivya and Rohitasya to ascend to Swarga for all the wonderful merits and his struggles for keeping up his one simple word, which he could have declined, denied, challenged, but he did none of those. Even as he was speaking, rains drenched the burning pyre and a very youthful, lively Rohitasya woke up as if from a sleep. The glad Harishchandra hugged his son, and Indra once again requested the three to join him in Swarga. He garlanded them with heavenly flowers. Harishchandra, despite a year-long oppression in the crematorium and the prior experiences with Vishwamitra, did not lose his firm grip on Dharma. He objected that without compensating his Chandala master, he was unable to leave. Dharma told him that it was he who had appeared to protect him from further misery in the form of an illusion. The Dharma which Harishchandra had done throughout his life came back to protect him and gave the compensation that Vishwamitra was demanding. On hearing the repeated suggestion of Indra to ascend to Swarga, Harishchandra said he could not quit his job of protecting his Kosala citizens. Abandoning them will amount to Brahmahatya, killing a Brahmana, Guruhatya, killing one's own Guru, or Strivada, that is, killing of women. He was ready to forego the offer unless all the citizens could come with him to Swarga. He was content to go to Naraka for not listening to Indra. Indra countered him, "How can the individual papa and punya of all the citizens be accounted for? So Harishchandra should now go to Swarga for his own merit." Harishchandra said all the yajnas and yagas that he had done was only with the inputs of all his citizens. Even though as a king he might have given away in charity, performed meritorious deeds, the real benefactors were the praja, and he was a mere representative. He requested Indra if all the merits of his translated to a long time in Swarga, may it be divided to all his citizens to enjoy Swarga at least for one day. Indra was extremely happy to see how deep-rooted Harishchandra's idea of Dharma was. So were Dharma and Vishwamitra. Vishwamitra himself enthroned Rohitasya as the next king of Kosala. And thereby, Harishchandra, through his meritorious act, helped all the citizens to live in Swarga for an entire day. When Vasishta, who was the Kulaguru of Ikshavagus, came to know of the hardships of Harishchandra at the hands of Vishwamitra, he got angry and cursed Vishwamitra, who again cursed Vasishta. They both took a form of bird due to the curse and continued their fight. Brahma intervened and knocked some sense into both and highlighted that Vishwamitra's actions were done with the sole purpose and intention of highlighting the merit of Harishchandra's depth in following Dharma. Harishchandra's resolve to follow Satya, no matter to what limits he got pushed to, and reminded Vasishta that he ascended to Swarga thanks to Vishwamitra's test. Now, this incident happened in Treta Yuga. That was way before even Rama's times. How is it going to affect our daily lives? Why should you and I follow Satya? Now, let us see the popular Sanskrit sloka that says, Dharmo rakshati rakshitaha, which means that the one who supports Dharma, that Dharma will in turn protect him. We saw that Harishchandra fell to the miserable depths and Dharma himself was forced to take the form of a chandala, hiding his identity, yet keen on protecting Harishchandra's merits and his future. There is another dimension, that truth always triumphs. Satyameva Jayate is a term which is popularly lip-synced by most Indians without understanding the depth. Harishchandra gave a word that he will support the Rajasuya Yajna, but not happy with that promise, he proceeds to give the entire kingdom to Vishwamitra's request. It may be easier for a normal person of today to say that they can back on their own word. If we quit on our own words, who is going to believe our word? Who is going to follow us? Each one of us is a leader. Each one of us leads our own body, mind, and intellect. If we are not following Satya, we cannot even lead ourselves. Forget about leading others. If we observed, the biggest oppression Harishchandra had was the fear that he will be unable to keep up his word. That is why he was even ready to auction Shaivya and Rohitasya, even auction himself. Those things didn't matter. Even working in the crematorium didn't matter. Working with dead bodies didn't matter. But not keeping up the word was something Harishchandra was not willing to do. Satyam is the real foundation of Sanatana Dharma. The Taittiriya Upanishad, which reminds all students to follow Satyam. First word it says is Satyam Vada, and then only it says Dharmam Chara. Follow Dharma. Without speaking truth at all levels, it is impossible to follow Dharma. The same Taittiriya Upanishad also gives a lot of pointers to what is Brahman, Paramatma. The first indicator it gives is Satyam, followed by Jnanam, Anantam, Brahma. It says Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Brahma. Even in the popular Vedantic parlance, Brahman is referred as Sat, Chit, Ananda, truth, consciousness, and bliss. Speaking truth is only one aspect of Satya. No wonder, having grasped all the deep understanding, Harishchandra was able to understand that all the struggles he went through to uphold Satya, selling his wife, selling his son, and even himself, that Satya was far superior to it. It was worth it. It was a higher cost. Let us also look at the life of Harishchandra and understand his high dharmic thinking. Harishchandra was promised Swarga at the end of his troubles. A normal person would have gladly said, thank you, let's go. Me, my family are happy. Harishchandra didn't even have his kingdom for more than a year. His citizens had not even seen or heard of him. Yet his heart was about their future. He argues with Indra, telling all the merits came from the Praja, and since they contributed to his merits, the benefits should also reach them. This is the mindset of someone who is focused on responsibility, on dharma, on their duties, not on their privileges or rights like the politicians of today. Why speak of politicians? Even every single individual in Kali Yuga thinks that way. The real essence of Yajna spirit is to be understood here. Yajna is always done with the purpose of the participation of everyone in the society, and the benefits are equally shared. The real essence of Yajna spirit is to be understood. The participation of everyone in the society is crucial in the Yajna, and the merits are shared by everyone. Harishchandra understood this Yajna spirit and informed Indra that it was correct only if the benefits went to the roots, his citizens, who funded all his projects. This is the reason why Harishchandra is immortalized, not merely because of the struggles he went through. Many of us even qualify for struggling. We have our own struggles. We may also be upholding some small virtues, but we lack the subtle understanding of this dharmic concept. And that is the difference between us and Harishchandra, though we may pale Harishchandra's struggles at times. Another important takeaway is the importance of dharmic ecosystem. Harishchandra was at the helm, setting a role model through his individual example. We see Shaivya doing the same. She is a co-equal in rising to great heights to uphold dharma. So were the citizens. The citizens of Kosala give us an insight as to how they all rose together in maintaining dharma, though a lot of credit needs to be given to Harishchandra as the head and as the hero of this incident, it still highlights the importance of individual responsibility. The word dharma comes from the root word dhri, which means to uphold or maintain. Dharayati iti dharmaha is one of the definition of dharma, which means that which is upheld. Dhriyate iti dharmaha is another definition of dharma, which means that which supports. So dharma is
that which is upheld,
but at the same time that which supports. So dharma is the foundational principle of the society, and it contains artha and kama. The purpose of dharma, the result of dharma, is moksha. So dharma is one idea, one central idea that contains within it all the resources, all the desires that we can aspire for, including that of the liberation from samsara. Dharma is just a facet of satya. To uphold dharma is the same as upholding satya. Harishchandra may sound like an extreme example, but at least we can follow the idea in its spirit. His life and experience is a benchmark for all of us to be inspired and follow and live up to. The strength to overcome our life struggles come from the extent of our dharma understanding and to the extent we apply it in our personal lives. Dharma is like a very fragile ecosystem. Adharma can exist like a lone wolf predator or a perpetrator that will quickly gain momentum when it gathers numbers. So dharma has to be protected and upheld at all times. The only way we can uphold dharma is to have a better understanding. This comes from listening to pravachans of Mahatmas, periodically studying the scriptures, itihasas and puranas, Bhagavad Gita and various other texts that resonate with our level of thinking, and to also listen to great wondrous narrations of examples like Harishchandra, Shibi, Rantideva and many others who struggled to a great extent to uphold that facet of dharma. Thus, we can be part of that ecosystem with our personal example. We have the ability to influence others only by our personal living and personal example. If we take these dharmic thoughts to our heart and cleanse our mind through the practice of this subtle dharma, through seeking truth at all costs, we let the inner Paramatma, the Antaryamin, to illuminate our buddhi, which will guide us to rising to greater heights. May we assert our right and privilege to constantly remember Paramatma by constantly disciplining our mind with higher thoughts and lead a dharmic life. Om Tat Sat.